Welcome to the Vertical Shift podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get this thing started, guys.
All right. Hey, guys.
Hey. That long of a day?
Tired.
Golly, man.
I really don't get tired a lot, but I'm tired right now.
I can tell.
Dude. What does that mean? You know, we left off, Justin, with you sharing your story. And so through college, the end of college, you started realizing, or, you know, the whole what's my purpose really started coming into focus for you. And that started driving questions and, you know, what's next and what's out there for me and what is this all about? What's the meaning? And you had a friend. He was your friend, right? A friend of yours?
Best friend from high school.
A best friend from high school.
Yeah.
Who then asked you to go to meet for lunch and kind of tricked you.
Yeah. And we kind of had kind of a period where we weren't talking much. And he had joined like the military, the Air Guard and all that stuff. And so like he was at boot camp. So there's just this period of time where we just weren't, talking. And so
he comes back in the picture.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
And then you reach out and y'all are talking.
Yeah, he actually reached out to me and was like, hey, man, I'd love to have lunch with you and catch up. And I'm like, dude, we haven't talked in a while, you know. So meet him at McAllister's, one of my favorite places.
Hungry.
I know. And yeah, so we're talking and he pulls out this mini travel Bible. Right. And I didn't know that he had kind of recently come to the Lord. But as we're talking, he's like, hey, man, I just want to let you know, like, there's been some changes going on in my life and just want to let you know that, you know, man, I've trusted the Lord with my life. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know what this means. And then he pulls out his Bible and he's like, man, I would love for you to read this verse and tell me what you think. And I'm like, one, the letters are really small on this travel Bible. But then two, I'm reading it and I was like, dude, I don't know. Like,
you actually read it?
Yeah, I read it. Best friend from high school. Like, we've got a lot of history together. And I'm like, why would I not? But I read it and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess it points to God, like, and all this stuff. And so, but long story short, I essentially just like end it with like, man, I'm glad for you. That's great. But man, I want nothing to be a part. Like, I want nothing about this, right? No part of it. So essentially reject a really good friend, you know, shared a lot of earlier years and early college years with. So,
man, what was his reaction?
Honestly, it was kind of neutral. He's like, man, I get it. I just want to share with you, you know, so kind of from a place of love, right, and concern and care. And man, Denny's always been just a great guy. You know, we share a lot of life together. So,
yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Denny. Thank you, Denny.
Man,
for sharing the gospel,
Denny,
with Justin.
We need a lot of Denny's out there.
We do.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, man, like even now, like he serves in a ministry role in Memphis, working with colleges in a broad region of the country, like Southeast region and stuff. So he's still in ministry. And so even in all that, you know, I think I left off with talking about, you know, that event and then kind of talking about how I'm really questioning, you know, purpose and life and all this stuff. And I didn't know it, but the Lord is working in my heart at that time. He's softening it as time's moving on. Even if I didn't know what it was, I think just asking the questions and being curious.
Even though your reactions weren't soft.
Correct. Yeah.
He's softening your heart in the process.
Yeah, that's him being the surgeon of the heart. Right. Where he's like, man, I'm softening this thing, and he has no idea that it's that.
Well, I think it's important to know that because I think that would be super discouraging for someone sharing their faith with somebody to be rejected so boldly and to feel like, number one, you're not good at sharing the gospel. But the whole time, the Lord's faithful to use that conversation to start softening the heart. So you can't judge that by what's happening on the outward appearance. So
yeah,
that's just a good reminder.
I think I think that many people find that as a barrier to share the gospel because they're afraid of that.
Nobody wants to be rejected.
Or feel embarrassed. And, you know, that's why I asked the question, how did he respond to it?
Right.
And I thought he responded perfectly. Right. Like, hey, this is on my heart. I'm, you know, I get it, but... Yeah. You know, so it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, after that, like after leaving that and then the events that unfold is really like, you know, like I said, I started cutting out people and things out of my life to focus on getting answers around this purpose thing. And so as that's happening, like that's where I mentioned, you know, I meet back up with a buddy from high school, another buddy from high school that I played soccer with, who always had, you know, a friendship, closer friendship than I had in high school with Aaron. And so we meet up with Aaron and then her sister, and there's even some other new folks in the picture that, you know, from University of Memphis that kind of come into play. And so anyway, we're all just kind of hanging out as a group, and I'm just realizing like, man, this is so much more simple of a life than I've ever lived, you know? And so I start to kind of hang out and become part of the picture. And then even in that, Aaron and I didn't even really think that we liked one another, but in our conversations, sometimes the Lord would come up or faith would come up because the majority of the folks in this group believed in the Lord. And so Aaron was very, very gracious, in asking questions about my faith and where things stood, but it was always in an innocent way. And I think that to me was one of the coolest things because Aaron had the ability, and I think other people have this ability too. It's not just Aaron, but it's her delivery and being consistent and being concerned for somebody that the way she was asking, I'm like, huh, I don't know that I know that answer. Or growing up Catholic, I'm like, well, I believe this, and insert whatever the doctrine was that I learned, right? And yet Aaron would have a good follow-up question. And I'm like, well, man, that's a great point. I'm not sure. I don't know. And so all these things are happening real time, and it's leading me to feel like I have a faith, but I'm realizing I really don't.
Right.
And so that starts the curiosity and the spurring on.
Are you living on your own at this time? Or what's your living situation?
No, I actually moved back with my parents.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Moved back. And I'll tell you, man, so grateful for them and doing that because it was really like, man, what's next? Oh, and right, the Great Recession hit. So it's like tons of stuff's going on. No one knows what jobs look like, companies, performance, all that, the housing crash, all these things. So it was a time really too where, you know, there's a little bit of isolation, but not by choice to get away from things, but just to kind of be like, man, I just need to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't recommend isolating yourself, but I am grateful that my story has a season where I had to get away from the noise.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So now you and Aaron are talking, you're talking about spiritual things. You're moved back in with mom and dad. Yeah. Now what? How did it progress to
Do you dating? Have a job at this time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got a job.
Yeah.
Got McAllister's, a job. Right?
No. Oh. I will say this. Like, here's the funny thing, too, and how events work. Like, you could look at it and be like, man, I was living back with my parents, like, right after college. But also, like, had I not done that, like, Erin was doing her grad school, so she was still back here. And so, like, hanging out as a group, like, I got to be around her more. And that's when it was like, hey, the more we hung out, the more both of us were like, huh, I think we're starting to like one another. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we had the conversations like, hey, like, you know, what would you say about maybe going out to get something to eat, right? Or something like that. And then, you know, it was kind of like brushed off a little bit. But I will say this, in thinking that I was going to go the military route, obviously decided not to. But in that moment when I'm at the little center, you're doing your physical and all that stuff, and I'm like so close to signing the line on like being in and getting a date for all the boot camp stuff. I just remember because the Lord was working in my life and all those questions and things that Aaron was asking and friends were asking. I remember I go, I need a minute. And I look at the guy that was running the drills and stuff. And
so you're like, you're at the table.
I am. Yeah. Like it's
in the office,
you get there at 5 o'clock. Like I stayed in a hotel.
The recruiter office. Bring you to,
the MEP center.
Oh wow. Yeah. You're downtown. Being processing.
Yeah. Like processing. And once you go through your physical,
have you already signed?
No. Okay. This is that point.
It's but like, you're down 120 as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking great. Like, yeah. Like yeah. I can do all this stuff, right? I feel great. And the MEP center was like, I was going to pick my job codes. And then that's where I'd go back to the recruiter's office and they'd be like, all right, here's what it looks like. But after that, like you've essentially said like your intentions are yes, you're in.
This is it.
So I tell the guy, I'm like, man, I need a minute and I'll be right back. So I go to like the front area, still in the center. And I'm like, you know, I don't even know how to pray. I'm just like, Lord, I know I'm questioning a lot right now, and I know you've done some things to reveal some things and have me question some things. But if this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, would you please just make it known? Like, I've never prayed anything like that.
I think that's really interesting because you shared, you know, before that you always knew there was something. You didn't know if it was God or not. But now being around Aaron and that friend group, you started sensing more and picking up more that, hey, this God of the creator of the universe is someone I can talk to. Mm-hmm. I mean, am I right?
Yeah. And I think there was a softening of my heart going on in the background that the Lord was doing. So I think it made me more open to go like, hey, I'm pretty sure this is you working. Right. And so it's like, that's who I prayed to, like what I had been feeling the Lord doing. Looking back, I know it was him, but even in the moment, I'm like, I didn't know if that those words were going to work. And
all right, so you're in the front room or whatever in the lobby, and you're like, Lord, just tell me what happened next.
So what did he do?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, I felt an overwhelming sense of this is not it.
Like you knew
right? Without a doubt. And dude, like I had been working out to get to this point and to think about the job codes I wanted, right? All that stuff. And I was like, I have no idea what's next, but I know it's not this. And so I literally called up the recruiter guy from the center. I was like, hey man, I'm not doing this. And I don't think he was too happy because he'd spent some time. But that's when I called Aaron, because Aaron, again, halfway through her master's program and was interning at a place downtown.
So she was in the area?
In the area. And I remember I call her up and I'm like,
you were like, great news. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
You want a great plan? No idea.
I know what I'm not going to do.
Will you be my girlfriend?
Yeah. I remember I called her. I was like, hey, are you downtown? She's like, yeah.
And y'all are official yet or no?
No. Okay. Just hanging out. Right. Still friends. And at this point, we know we're attracted to one another. We like each other, but nothing's official. Right. And so I was like, can you pick me up? Bring me in my car. So she does. She picks me up, brings me in my car. And it's been an early day, long day. And she drove me to my car, and then I asked her, you know, if she'd like to go get some lunch later. And we did. We went to Lenny's just as friends. Like, it wasn't uncommon to do that before. And we got to talk, and I was like, hey, you know, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, today's been kind of wild, but, like, also, you feel like, you know, I feel like we keep talking and hanging out, and Aaron's funny. She, you know, she knew it too, and so we kind of, like, admitted it, but we didn't start dating. Like, she told me that she would go on a date with me once I quit smoking, because I was smoking cigarettes at the time.
Really?
Like, I was working out so hard and running all the time.
And
like,
still smoking.
Yes. Like I timed my mile just to see how fast it could be. I got down to like a 6:15, like a 6:15 mile.
Wow.
And then would still like,
imagine what you could have done with two lungs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did have a track coach. I didn't take track, but there was a track coach in my high school that smoked while he ran.
Yeah.
So
it's like a doctor that smokes outside.
Air. I get tired breathing air. So can't imagine smoking.
Yeah. It was something around like 6:15, 6:30, somewhere
that's
in there.
Insane.
And I told Aaron, I looked at her, I was like, give me 30 days. And sure enough,
good
quit
for
cold
her,
turkey.
Though. Good for her.
Quit cold turkey. A lot of Mentos and gum. Mm. Chewing Mentos and gum. And then literally, I think I even like said like, hey, give me like 32 days just to make sure that like I'm done. But yeah, no, quit cold turkey. And like it quit then. And so the rest is history. Like we start kind of deciding to go out on a date. We obviously make it official and all that stuff. But we started even going to a church together in Memphis that she had been going to, really liked it. It was non-denominational, but it was doctrinally sound. And then it wasn't until coming to the church right now, with, you know, that y'all are at too. I just heard Steve, after being here for a little bit, just preach the gospel message, and I'd never heard it spoken that way before. Like literally my heart, my eyes and my ears were open to like, hey, I know bits and pieces of this story, but I have never heard it like this.
Hmm. The Holy Spirit revealed himself.
100%.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. So you made a confession of faith then in that service during that time? What I mean?
Yeah, August 2010. Yeah. So this August will be 14 years.
You are older than me. In a spiritual
right?
sense.
Is that right? Am I doing that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 14 years. Wow.
10 plus 14.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my word.
I was literally telling somebody that the other day when we did the first episode that when we talked about our age and different things, like we start adding all the been in ministry for, 25 years?
Yeah. Was,
to say that?
I say it at work now. This is my 20th, this may be 20th year in the industry I'm in. I'm like, I'm like becoming the old guy.
Becoming?
Becoming the old guy.
Hmm. Do you make it awkward at the water cooler? Hey, young whippersnapper.
No.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So it all started with the incredible ambiance of Lenny's. And what it has to offer that love sparks.
Justin is all about some food.
That's true.
Those Philly steaks.
But isn't it ironic that someone who wrestled with their weight married a dietitian? I think that's pretty cool.
Or
strategic.
Strategic. Divine. Yeah.
She's like, first client.
Yeah. No, when we actually got married, we got engaged and married at like 13 months. Because we'd already known each other since high school,
and then also in college.
So,
just take your time.
We already knew quite a bit about each other, and a lot of that was just timing, right? But yeah, so we did, and kind of the rest is history, right? Three boys, now married, going on 13 years. So yeah,
it's awesome.
I think your youngest son is he's one of my fans, like.
Oh, dude, he loves
every time
Tommy.
I love him. Every time I see him, he's like, "Oh, Mr. Tommy."
I don't love that he picks up stuff in the house and starts banging on everything. Oh, and it's like, I play like Mr. Tommy, and I'm like,
I still do that. So,
yeah.
No, your kids are great. Your family is amazing, and it's just, man, it's just amazing how God worked in all of that to bring that together.
Right.
Yeah.
I do want to say this, though, going back to the food thing, what I mentioned is, you know, when we were trying to come up with podcast names, every name almost that Justin came up with had some sort of form of food.
No, table reference, which implied food.
Oh. Correct.
Yeah.
Everything implied food.
Forbidden.
No, that was you, buddy. That was you, my
friend. I'd never put forbidden fruit.
That was Justin.
Must have been hungry when I put that in there. I don't remember that one. That sounds horrible.
That is terrible. I know. And then it was, what was the other one?
Something about the table.
No, something about milk and...
Milk and honey. Milk and honey.
That was not mine. I'm going back through the text thread. That was not mine.
This dude is old. He's losing us. Losing us.
It's the shoes.
It's the shoes. 100%.
Oh. I wish they could see these shoes.
All right, let's get back on track here. All right. So, you're now a believer. You're now in a healthy marriage. You're now...
Yeah, leading connect groups. Talk about that.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the questions that, you know, Jeff asked you, Tommy, and has asked, like, you know, what does it look like to pursue Christ, you know? And so, I do think it's different. I think it shows up in how I'm a husband and a dad. And I don't mean that to say like I've got it figured out and I'm perfect and it's awesome and look at me. But I will tell you that I notice how I show up as a husband and a dad, and having that lens of what it's supposed to look like from a biblical perspective. Do I fall short? Absolutely. Do I see how it should be modeled when I look at scripture and see the relationship that God has with, you know, with Jesus and the relationship to the church and all the things in scripture, like, man, like, yes, that's the goal. And so, you know, I don't ever want to look back and go, man, my parents didn't do it right. That's not the point here. The point is, I think there's even going to be things that I regret. But I do, like, I think I'm also so grateful that the Lord took somebody like me that was a cynic at best and a critic to a Christian and a believer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's always kind of blown me away. And even when I prepare for small group every week, I'm always blown away at the amount of stuff that the Lord reveals to me personally that never makes its way to the group. And because that's a time where the Lord is showing me things about myself or about himself. And then even the stuff we're talking about in group, like, it's always going to be biblically centered and in context. And I just am truly always blown away at how like there's like this out of body experience sometimes where it's like the Lord is using me to speak his word to the people in this group. And it has nothing to do with me. Like it's always the Lord using, his people. So, I'm humbled, man. I really am. And,
I think one thing for me is you and Aaron walked into your marriage as believers. And, you may be, recent. When, what year did you get married?
Yeah, so it would have been 2011.
Yeah, so you were, you had been a, a believer for a year. Mm. But it was a strong time that you're really building the foundation of your faith and y'all walk into that together. And I just, wonder if someone out there is going to listen to this who is younger, who is preparing for that time of their life. I want them to hear that, hey, that's the most important thing to get right. And it will help the other things in life as they happen. It will help those things, grow even more fruitful and better. And, if there's, I always tell my kids, if there's a way you can avoid the heartache that I went through, mm-hmm. live by some of my mistakes. And so I think that that's something that hopefully someone will out there will.
Well, I was going to say, I think, the benefit of doing life together with men and our discipleship group is, Justin, some of the things that I admire about you is I've never heard you say one single even hint of a negative thing about your wife. You always build her up. You always speak highly of her. And then you guys both together, are very intentional with protecting time together, time with your family. And I think that's, mm-hmm. that's impacted me because it's really easy to do even good things and overcommit and sacrifice your family in the process. Mm-hmm. And I think you're very intentional in protecting that. And that's been something that, has
been an influence.
Yeah. Been an influence. Yeah, and
for sure for me too.
Encouraging, to see that and to know, hey, it's okay to say no to things, that's hard for me sometimes. But yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. But also this is where it all feeds off one another, in the group that we're talking about is we've got the same focus, right? To live as Christian men in a way that glorifies God. And so I look at Tommy and, he talked about going back to school. When I was walking through going back and getting my master's, I know I'd talk to Tommy. I'm like, man, I am just like overwhelmed right now. And Tommy would be like, man, I know. And he would just validate and be able to speak to what he walked through as, a dad, a husband, and going back to school and working. And so that was encouraging. And then, Jeff, I've told you before, I didn't really know what it looked like. Even after being a believer, I didn't know what it looked like to be a believer that is about his family, right? I knew how to be a husband, and to Aaron, a lover, and we do all things together. Man, she truly is my best friend. But how did it look like to be a dad as a believer? And I saw you model a lot of that with how you, live with your family. And I was like, man, I've never seen it that way before. Mm-hmm. And so that was always encouraging. And so those are the things that I take too from y'all. And I go, man, it has shaped a lot of who I am.
Well, Justin, as we kind of come to the conclusion of this episode and kind of thinking about some things, we got some time here. What would you say has been your biggest challenge in your faith?
That's a deep question.
Put him on the spot.
I think honestly, and I think I share this in one of our kind of last guys groups. I think even people outside of the church look at the church as being arrogant, conceited, right, at times. And I think there is some truth to that sometimes in people and how mm-hmm. people act, because people are people. But I say that to say, I know I struggled with early on that, having a lost life before and then coming to the Lord, I was kind of like, man, how do you live in this new life, this new, new creation that the Spirit gives you, right? Like a new life in Christ, and yet still navigate and find your way with, like, you know, people in general that also are lost, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I'm not saying like you don't associate or you do associate, but like, man, how do you find that balance of like, man, how do you protect what you've got that's new in Christ and grow and flourish and learn more about Him and let Him influence your life? And then also like be normal, right? Mm-hmm. Like be a normal person. Mm-hmm. I'd say that was probably the biggest struggle early on. I think now there's, man, I guess we're talking about it, almost 14 years of being a believer. And I would say the last 7 have been really awesome in just growing in Him. And so now I look at it and go, and I've said this multiple times in small group, like as a believer, how can I be less righteous in my attitude and be more humble in my spirit? Mm. Like that is my passion. Like I just want to,
I wanted to say that you took the words out of my mouth. When I think about you and I think about you guys every day, pray for you guys every day, humble is one of the characteristics I think about when I think about you, Justin, and humble in a way that, I mean, I've seen you grow in your faith. We started off early on in a different kind of study group. And I have seen your faith progress and these things that you've worked through, whether it be, you know, and you've talked about them before, just how your character has been built up and, you know, things that God has stripped a lot of things away that you didn't even know were there. And I've seen changes in you. And through that whole, you know, period and even to now, just the humbleness that you have, even while you're teaching the one of the largest Connect groups in our church that continues to grow more and more. And I'm not saying this to, you know, you get your head big, and it's, I know it's not, but, you know, it's because truth is there and you're bringing the Word of God to people in an applicable way that they can understand and relate to it and live it and understand how to apply it to their life. It's a gift. You know, it's truly a gift. And I know that, you and I have texted back and forth before, just one-on-one. I'll text you and just, hey, man, just keep doing what you're doing, you know, because it's impactful.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, man. I look at it and I go, I see how my story gives me a perspective that when I think about people that come into our, you know, small group or people I meet, like I can relate in some way to some of their stories or like the questions they have or the reservations they have and all that. So that's always my thought process when people are coming in, is like, I never want it to be about, oh, look at what I know because I've learned this from studying or I've read it or the Lord has shown me. Like I always go, man, I mean, I probably never said this out loud, not even to Aaron. I look out, especially at our small group, and I just go, man, I don't know where, I can know where some people are. Like, Tommy, I know your story, but some people, I don't know their story or what's real or if people know the Lord, but I just look out and go, man, I don't know where some people are at. And so what does the Lord want to do? And that's where I feel humbled that like the Lord wants to use me to speak His word, not that I'm saying what people need to hear. Right. No, and so, you know, and it is a balance, man, because I, you know, there's sometimes too, like also Jeff, like another struggle, sorry to keep going on it, but like the more I see God and who He is and His character and His goodness and all these things, I really find myself feeling like more and more kind of like, man, I feel a little bit alone at times because there's things that like He reveals because I'm like, man, like am I seeing this right? Does anybody else see this? And you just kind of find yourself always going to the Lord where you're like, man, you just want to spend that time with Him. You want to pray, you want to read. And so teaching, facilitating a small group, has really been a sweet season.
You do a lot of teaching, again, that's that humbleness. But
so what you're saying is when I asked you to pray about teaching a Connect group, that was a good thing.
That's where it all started.
That's where it all started.
And you know, the last thing I'll say, man, and then we can end it. You know, you asked about, Bible verses, and I always, on this side of being a believer, Hebrews 12, 1, 2 is something that's really always been on my heart in recent years. And it's, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy that set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I look at that and go, man, if Jesus can endure the cross, right, and he does it out of love, and he runs the race, and he perseveres because he knew that there was joy that sat on the other side of doing what he did. In my mind, that's always something that's like, man, can I run with perseverance the race that's marked, you know?
Yeah.
And that gets me out of that mindset of like, hey, circumstances determine my outlook of God. It's like, no, like circumstances can be, you know, great, or they can be bad, and it doesn't change who God is.
Right. So, God is God.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Justin, thanks for sharing your story, man. I appreciate it, and we love you. And man, thanks for tuning in, guys. We're so excited about what the Lord's going to do with this, and just being candid with where we're at and our story. So thanks for tuning in.